If you are here for the first time this morning, we're in the middle of a series since Christmas, and we'll finish at Easter. We've been thinking about the beliefs that we hold, the core truths that the Bible teaches, what it is that Christians all around the world believe. We're going to do that again this morning. Let me pray for us and ask God to help us as we do that this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you want us to know you. Thank you that you haven't left us guessing who you are or what you're like. You've revealed yourself to us in the Bible. Your Holy Spirit inspired the Bible to be written, and he inspires us to understand it. So please would he be with us this morning that we might better understand who you are and how you want us to live in your world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Imagine if someone moved into your house and straight away started doing jobs around the place, started mending things that haven't worked properly for years, started fixing things maybe that you've tried to fix in the past but never could, sorting things out. You can probably think of them right now, can't you? Sorting those things out that you've been putting off for ages or been putting up with for ages. Bit by bit, this person makes your house better. They uncover issues that you didn't even know were issues. Sometimes it's painful to watch as they rip up what look like perfectly good skirting boards to reveal the rot, or pull plaster off the walls to reveal the damp behind. But you learn to be okay with what they're doing because you know that they always put things back better than they were before. But it doesn't stop there. They don't stop there. Instead of just fixing the things that are wrong, they start making changes to your house, improvements. Under their careful supervision, your house, room by room, gets transformed. In fact, you realize after a while there is no room in your house that is the same as it was when they moved in. And if at first you were hesitant about what they were doing, over time you learn to trust them more and more. In fact, you encourage them. You help them. You find yourself tackling jobs together with them. You invite them to make bigger changes, more radical alterations. When they suggest something, you are quick to agree, because now your house is almost unrecognizable to the house it used to be. It's not only a nicer place for you to live, it's become a place where others love to spend time as well. It's become a place where good things happen. And all because of that person who moved in and got to work. Wouldn't that be amazing? Doesn't that sound good? Wouldn't you love someone to move in and do that with your house? Well, friends, the belief we hold that we're looking at this morning says that if we've come to know and trust Jesus, that's exactly what we have. Who is that person? He is God the Holy Spirit. And what is that house? It's you and your life. We're going to have our reading. So pick up a Bible and turn with me to John chapter 14, and Eden's going to read for us. Thanks, Eden.
The Bible reading is taken from John chapter 14, verses 15 to 27, and you can find it on page 1082 of the Red Bibles and 1676 of the Black Bibles. If you love me, you'll obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me, Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus replied, If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Before long, Jesus said, verse 19, the world will not see me anymore. Jesus was just about to go to the cross. He was just about to die and then come back to life and then go up to heaven. But he says in verse 16, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. Who's he talking about? Verse 17, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans, Jesus said. I will come to you. Look at verse 20. He said, On that day you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Verse 23. Jesus replied, If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and he will come to him and make our home with him. And if you're with us, almost a year ago when we were looking at the beginning of Acts, we saw the arrival of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. Jesus is promising that when he leaves, he will send his Spirit to live in us. Last week, if you were here, we saw that the only way any of us come to believe and trust in Jesus is if God is at work in our lives. Excuse me. God gives us the gift of faith. But do you see what Jesus is saying here? Once we become a believer, God doesn't move on to his next project. Instead, he moves in. The Father and the Son come to live through the Holy Spirit in us. God makes his home in us. You ever been to Buckingham Palace? If you've been to Buckingham Palace, been to visit Buckingham Palace, you'll know the first thing you do when you look at Buckingham Palace is see if the flag's flying. Do you know why? What does it say? Oh, the king. Yeah, yeah. It means that the king's there, right? It shows you. Did you ever learn the song when you were a kid? There's a flag flying high in the castle of my... Look, you're all looking blank at me. I used to sing it. There's a flag flying high in the castle of my heart, for the king is in residence there. I won't sing it for you. But that's what Jesus is saying here in John 14. And it's not just for the disciples. If you're a believer, the Bible says God's Holy Spirit lives in you. Or to put it the other way around, as Paul does in Romans chapter 8, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. In other words, there is no such thing as a Christian who doesn't have God's Spirit living in them. And why does he live in us? Well, first of all, to fix what is broken. 8.5 years ago, when Galen and I first moved to Greenbank, they were still building the Winnington estate. I don't know, maybe they still are. They seem to just sort of mushroom. But we decided, just because we were being nosy, we'd go down and we'd have a look at one of the new builds. I wonder if you've ever done that, or whether you did it at Winnington. If you've ever done that, you'll know you walk in and it's just magnolia walls and beige floors, right? There's nothing in there. It's a brand new house. It's a blank canvas. You're supposed to walk in and, you know, kind of imagine your new life starting there. Well, that's not what happens when the Holy Spirit moves into our lives. Because the Bible tells us before the Spirit moves in, there have already been tenants. Last week we were looking at Ephesians chapter 2, which started like this. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. But then it goes on. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. Do you see what he's saying? Before someone becomes a believer and the Holy Spirit comes into their lives, someone else, something else already lives in us. As we grow up, you and I are shaped by the ways of this world. And we're influenced by the ruler of the kingdom of the air, which is another name for the devil. Before someone becomes a believer, their own sinful nature and the world around us and the devil himself has free rein in our lives. And like unwanted squatters, they don't look after the place. Listening to them, following them, makes a mess of our lives. Being led by them, being led by our own desires, leads to things being broken and ruined. They've trashed the place. And so the first thing the Holy Spirit does when he moves into our lives is clean things up and fix what is broken. Which is why, incidentally, very often when we first become Christians, after the sort of initial elation, very often it feels like things get worse and not better. Not because we become worse, but because God's Spirit is at work in us. Because before we didn't particularly care about lying or cheating. That's just what people do. Jealousy was normal. Anger was fine. Envy was encouraged. But now the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit, starts to show us that they're wrong. And over time, it's like he goes into every room of our lives and rips back the curtains and throws open the windows. And when he does, we see the mess that we've been living in. And friends, he does go into every room. He shows us that our view of ourselves has been wrong. He shows us that our view of other people and relationships have been wrong. He gets to work on our marriages and our family life. He tackles our attitude to work and to money and to leisure and to pleasure. He goes into rooms that we thought were fine and rips up the skirting boards and reveals the rot that we never knew was there. And sometimes it hurts. But it's okay, because he's the Spirit of God. And he is gentle as well as brutal. And he does it because he loves us. And he does it because he wants our lives to be truly wonderful again. If you've ever done any DIY, you'll know what it's like. If you want your room to be green instead of pink or whatever it is, you don't just get in the car, go down to B&Q, buy the paint and start slapping it on the walls. No, first of all, you need to sand and you need to fill and you need to tear out the old and tackle all the issues and fix what is broken. Sometimes for a long time, the room looks worse than it did before. But that's got to happen. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. He comes to fix what is broken, so that he can then make us like Christ. God wants every room in our lives. He wants every part of our lives, every relationship, to be better. He wants to show us how great life can be. He wants to show us how life works best. In other words, he wants to make us more like Christ. So turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. It's on page 1172. I try not to, you know, get you flipping around the Bible too much in sermons because I know it can distract, but this is a really important passage. So turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. It's on page 1172. And let me read to us from verse 16. It says this: "So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, that means arguments, factions, that means broken relationships, and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other." I wonder if you've seen that TV program, Your Home Made Perfect, I think it's called. At the start of each program, architects, experts go around somebody's house and they, you know, sort of furiously make notes, and then they list all the things that are wrong with the house. You know, the kitchen is too small. There's not enough space to pass each other in the hallway. There's never enough storage and space in the garden, or whatever it might be. They get to work on the person's house, and then they hand them some VR goggles. And they say, "This is what it could look like. This is what we want to make your house into." Friends, God wants to fix what's wrong in our lives. The sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, the idolatry and witchcraft, the hatred, the discord, the jealousy, the fits of rage, the selfish ambition, the arguments, the disagreements, the envy, the drunkenness and orgies and the like. He wants to replace all of those things. He wants to get rid of all of those things, and instead, for there to be something better: love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. God wants to do the painful work of tearing out the old, because he wants to do the wonderful work of bringing in the new. And the question at the end of that passage in Galatians chapter 5 is, will you let him? Will you welcome the Spirit into your life to do that work? Will you work with him? Or as it says in verse 25, will you keep in step with the Spirit? Will you pray brave prayers like this? "Dear God, please show me how to be a better husband. Dear Heavenly Father, please help me to honor my parents. Lord God, help me to trust you with my relationships. Father, show me what needs to go in my life. If it's wrong, if it's not what you want, if it keeps me from following you, help me to get rid of it. Would you pray prayers like that? Because that's what God wants to do in our lives. He wants to make us like Christ. He wants us to be joyful and satisfied and at peace. But we don't just sit back and let him do it. That's what happens on the TV shows, right? They sort of hand over the keys to the house and 6 months later they move back and it's all perfect. But that's not how God's Spirit works. We have to work with him. Which means we can also work against him. We can get in the way. We can try and keep him out of some of the rooms in our lives. Some of the relationships, some of the areas. Or we can invite him in. We can trust him. Obey him. Follow his lead. Listen to his voice. Learn what he wants us to do at school and at work and at uni and in our families. Learn how he wants us to change by coming along to church and reading our Bibles and meeting with other Christians and talking to him in prayer. That's how you keep in step with the Spirit. You see, he doesn't call us to change ourselves by our own effort. We're not trying to pull up ourselves by the bootstraps. No, God is at work in us, fixing what is broken, making us like Jesus, but he wants us to work alongside him. Paul in Philippians chapter 2, some of my favorite verses, says this: "Therefore, my dear friends, as you've always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling." Work at it, Paul is saying. Work out what it means to be a Christian and follow Jesus. Don't be lazy in your faith. Don't be satisfied with your holiness. Let your salvation work its way into every nook and cranny of your life. But it doesn't stop there. He says, "For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose." We work, God works. Together. Romans 5 verse 5 says he has poured his love into our hearts. God's Spirit lives in us. Friends, if you are a believer here this morning, you and I are doer-uppers. We're projects. We are not the finished article, and God loves us too much to leave us the way we are. He wants to fix what is broken. He wants to make us like Christ. And he can, because he is God. He makes all things new. And he wants to make us new. So let me ask you this morning, what is God doing in your life? What are the things that still need fixing in your heart? What worldly wisdom are you still believing? What attitude from your old self are you still hanging on to? What behavior needs to change? If you don't know, ask God and he'll show you. But if you're a believer, I guess you probably already know. God wants you to change. He is gentle, but he is tough because he loves you. So what needs fixing in your life? What needs to change to make you more like Christ? Love? Joy? Peace? patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Does he want you to learn to trust him? Not to worry? To forgive? God is at work in you, bringing about that change. Are you helping him and welcoming that change? The Holy Spirit lives in us to fix what is broken, to make us like Christ, but finally, to use us for the kingdom. See, God wants to transform our lives, not just so that they are nice places for us to live, not just so they're nice places for others to spend time. No, God wants to transform our lives so that they become places where good things happen. Ephesians chapter 2, again, sorry, I know I'm dotting around all over the place. I was quite self-controlled in not putting lots more quotes in. But Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says this, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." And the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit gives to each one of us gifts that he wants us to use to serve him and each other. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 to 6, it says this, "There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There's different kind of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but God works all of them in all men. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good." In other words, all of us are given gifts by God so we can serve God. As we grow as Christians, he transforms us and gives us talents and abilities and skills to use for him. Maybe it's the gift of encouraging others. Maybe it's the gift of showing hospitality and welcoming people in. Maybe it's the gift of administration or the gift of teaching. Maybe he's given you a love for older people or a love for younger people or a love for those in need. Maybe there's a particular heart or a particular people group that he puts on your heart. Maybe he's given you the gift of helping those who are in debt or those who are suffering. Maybe you long for those who've never heard the gospel. God wants to work in you because he wants to work through you. And he gives us his Spirit to make that happen. That's what the Bible says. That's what we believe. And here's how we summarize it. The Holy Spirit lives in all those he has regenerated. He makes them increasingly Christ-like in character and behavior and gives them power for their witness to the world. Let me pray for us before we sing. Our dear Heavenly Father, we've covered a lot in a short space of time this morning. We've thought briefly, quickly, about what you want to do in our lives, about what you are doing in the lives of those of us who believe. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you this morning for the gift of your Holy Spirit who lives in us. Dear Heavenly Father, would you show us, we pray, the things he wants to fix and change and mend, the things that have been messed up and broken and twisted by the wisdom of the world, by our own sinful desires? Would you be at work in us to get rid of the old and bring in the new? Teach us, we pray, to be more like Christ. Help us, we pray, to be full of the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Dear Heavenly Father, maybe as we've been hearing about the work of the Spirit this morning, there's something in particular you've put on our hearts that we know needs to change. Maybe there's an area in our lives, a room in our lives that we've never been brave enough to say, Lord, that's yours as well. Be at work in us, we pray. And be at work through us, we pray. Lord, show us how you want us to serve you. Help us to learn what gifts you've given us to use for others. What an amazing, humbling privilege that you want to use us for your kingdom. You want to use us to encourage brothers and sisters. You want to use us to reach out to the world that doesn't know you. But we couldn't do any of these things were it not for the fact that you've given us your Spirit. So would he be at work in us, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.